This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Yes, it is good to have Janine and Daniel Hazelrig here today. Let's give them a hand. Would you stand? Janine's going to come and share right now. And then Daniel will come as well, but they're missionaries to Mexico, right? And she's from right home at this church, so it's great to see you guys. Bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it is a pleasure to be back with you this morning. How many of you remember me as the really shy girl who grew up here and wouldn't talk to anybody? Yeah. So we're back. Yeah, God has definitely used Christian Life Center to work just beautiful things through my life, just in that, like, this is where I began to learn how to even do ministry or to hear from the Lord, to spend time in prayer. And I have been given some wonderful parents as well, Wes and Vicki Snyder, who taught me at home. But this was, like, all part of the package, Christian Life Center and my parents. And just I'm thankful for the history that I have here from Christian Life Center. So thank you for what you have done in my life, and thank you for what you're continuing to do in Missoula. Missoula needs Jesus, doesn't it? Missoula needs Jesus pretty bad, but that's why we're here. It's to worship the Lord and then to take that outside and to live it the way that he wants us to live it, so that hopefully more people will come to know Jesus as well. Dana's going to share with you a little bit about what we were doing in Mexico, and then, we're going to take turns this morning. Here you go.
Good morning. If you can't tell from my accent, I'm not from Montana. I'm from Oklahoma. If you're ever hunting a spouse, go into missions. It's a great place. I actually met Janine in Mexico. So missions is the way to go. But for the last 10 years, we have been serving in Mexico. And I'm just looking back over the last 10 years. If you've been in ministry or if you've been in a job for long enough, you can look back at what you've been able to accomplish. But in our sense, it's not what we've been able to accomplish. It's what God's been able to accomplish through us. I've learned over the last 10 years that Mexico is not about, or ministry is not about us. It's not about what we do. Ministry is about being faithful where God has put you. Over the last 10 years, my primary ministry has been teaching in a Bible school, and I've had the opportunity to teach probably about 150, 200 students over the last 10 years, and seeing where those students are today, some of those students are now church planters. Habin and his family planted a church where there was not a single evangelical church in their area. Wilbur's now a pastor of a church in Ococoso, Coahuila, Chiapas, Mexico. You got to speak in tongues to speak in Spanish sometimes. A girl named Azucena, she's a children's pastor at her church. I've had a chance to teach at the Missions Training Center for Mexicans who are now missionaries around the world. And some of my former students are now serving in, one is in Belize. We've got others in other sensitive countries around the world. I'm reminded of a quote by Corey Ten Boom that says, every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our path, is a perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. About a year ago, we came back to the United States, and we had known that the door of ministry in Chiapas had closed for us. The Bible school was doing well there, and there was more emphasis on the Mexicans teaching there. And so we came back. There was an open door in northern Mexico, in the city of Aguas Calientes, Mexico. And over this last year, we've just kind of felt the stirring in our heart and our spirit that maybe God's got something different. A few months ago, we were approached with by a ministry called Doorways and Simply Sisters about joining them. And as we heard about that, I was kind of shell-shocked when that came along. I'll be the first to admit, I don't like change. Missions is, there's a lot of change, there's a lot of transition, but it's still missions. And as we've been praying about this and as we've been figuring out what this would entail, basically, it's just building on what we've already experienced the last 10 years. My area of ministry and Doorways will be still be focused on international, still be focused on, it's about getting people personally involved in missions, taking missions teams. The founder of this organization has taken over 200 missions teams over the last 30 years because we still need missionaries. We still need people to get involved in missions. But a lot of that is simply getting people there and seeing what it's all about. In my life, I was confirmed, God confirmed to me that I was to be a missionary on a missions trip. So it's opening the door to do more of that for other people. I'll also be working with the Hispanic community in our local area. Again, that's looking back, learned 10 years of speaking Spanish, and we live in an area where there's a very large Hispanic community, so I'll be able to do that as well. I still get the opportunity to travel overseas and teach in some of the schools that I've already been a part of, as well as other doors around the world to teach the Word of God and get other people involved in ministry. So God is sovereign. We have to trust that. We have to believe that. But we also get to see how he's working that sovereignty through our life to take us to the next step in ministry. Janine's going to share what she's done in Mexico and how it's built onto what we're doing now as well.
So when we were in Mexico all those years, for a lot of that time, I was working with my own children because they were very young. They're still only 5 and 7. So homeschooling and, you know, making sure they were okay and that kind of thing. For a while, I struggled with, well, God, what can I do? Because this is a full-time job. You know, I mean, moms know that. It's a full-time responsibility, and I wanted to do that well. So any ministry that I was involved in, I needed to be able to bring my kids. In Mexico, they don't have, like, childcare and that kind of thing the same way that we do here, daycares in the same sense. And so I needed to be the one to watch them. So I found that my ministry became more of, okay, I'm going to have a friend over who has a couple of kids, and we're going to talk while the kids play. Or I'm going to be messaging with my pastor's wife and see how she's doing because she had a surgery, some things like that. The pastor's daughter had been married, and she had a miscarriage. So walking through that with her and caring for her and praying for her. I ended up having another friend who had 2 young children, and she herself was in her mid-20s, and she got cancer. And walking through that experience with her and her family and just being there to pray for them and support them. And looking back, going, oh, that's ministry, right? It's not speaking on a stage, and it's not leading a church, or it's not teaching a Sunday school class, but it's ministry. And that's where my heart was to take those, you know, smaller groups or one-on-one, working with individuals and to share God's love with them and to encourage them and pray with them. And so, you know, fast forward, we're back in the States, and I ended up working in my kids' school last year, and I was finding that the ministry there was obviously working with the kids, but it was also the teachers and the staff and what they were going through and listening to them and praying for them and trying to share Jesus with them all along the way. So a few months ago, when they came to us and they presented this ministry and asked us to be a part of their team, they invited me to join Simply Sisters, which I'll tell you a little bit more about in just a minute. But to me, it made perfect sense because this is basically working with women and caring for them in times of need and sharing God's love, encouragement, maybe through a Bible study, maybe through a care basket. Sometimes they have gone on mission trips around the world and ministered to women around the world. So it would still give me the opportunity to maybe be involved in missions in that way. Helping people who have been widowed or lost a loved one, have been divorced, or maybe they've had a miscarriage, or they're going through cancer. All of these different things in life that we face. At some point, most of us face some kind of real, you know, tough situation. And so this is what they do. They come alongside, they pray, they support, they encourage, and offer just the help from the Lord in different ways and make good connections with women. So that's what we were invited to join, Doorways and Simply Sisters. And we're just excited about this new direction of ministry that God is bringing our way, and excited about some dreams that he's given us to even expand what they're already doing. So we just want to thank you for letting us share all of that with you today. I will just say there's a lot of beautiful gifts on the table out there for Simply Sisters. They make those items, and the intention is that they go out to women to help and encourage. There's little verse cards. There's bookmarks and beautiful things that they've made. Those are free. You don't have to pay for those. So if you want one, take one, please. And they're there for you guys to share.
Thank you, CLC, for being a church that believes that ministry is not just in these four walls. you've invested in us over the last 10 years in Mexico. And we met with the missions committee last week, and y'all, the church is going to continue to support us. Thank you for believing in missions and ministry outside of this church. If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to be reading out of Acts chapter 13. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation if you have an electronic device. But I just want to take a moment to reflect this morning on the time of worship. How many of you just enjoy coming into the presence of God and just taking your focus off of yourself, off of your problems, and just put your focus on God? How many of you realize when we worship God, everything is just right? There's a peace, there's a joy, there's purpose when we worship God. This morning I'm going to be reading the first three verses of Acts chapter 13. I'm going to be speaking on the mission of the church. And this last year I've been speaking out of this passage, but even this is last week, God just challenged me to refocus what this is about. It says, among the prophets and the teachers of the church at Antioch, Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is eternal. It's perfect, it's holy, and it's living, still speaking to us today. Help us this morning to hear and understand your word, Lord, and leave different than how we came in. Father, we commit these things to you, and may our lives honor you, worship you, and glorify you. In your precious name we pray, amen. So, over the last 10 years, I've been a teacher, so just forgive me for that. There will be some teaching coming out of this. So Acts, if you're familiar with the story of the Bible, how many of you know the Bible is one story? It's the story of Jesus Christ. Acts is the story of the founding of the church after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 gives us a basic outline. Okay. Gives us a basic outline of the book of Acts. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. When we read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 starts with the disciples in Jerusalem. They're waiting when Jesus tells them to wait. And in Acts chapter 2, we hear about the Holy Spirit coming upon them, baptizing them with power. And Peter, the one who denied Jesus 7 weeks earlier, became the one who preached a sermon, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus that morning. So it started in Jerusalem, and then it spread to Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 13 is a turning point of the book of Acts where the focus is no longer on the local area. We think Samaria is a long way away. Samaria is approximately 35 miles away from Jerusalem. But by Acts 13, the focus of Acts changes from the local region, changes from the focus of Peter, to changes to Paul and the focus on the rest of the world. So as I'm reading this, I just keep looking about what is the mission of the church. You know, I've grown up in church since I was 2 weeks old. Everything I know is about church, and in some ways a God church. That's what I grew up in. And I can't remember, my wife corrected me on this. I said that I can't remember a time where more than 1 week of my life has been away from church except for COVID. But this is all I know. And growing up in the Assemblies of God was actually founded as a missions organization to send missionaries around the world. So I've always grown up believing that that's the mission of the church, is missions. But here recently, God has been challenging me with that. So what do we learn about the mission of the church in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3? Here's just a few thoughts on this passage as I'm reading about it. The local church, this local church body, is part of the universal church. You can think of it this way, the local church, the lowercase c church, is part of the big C church. The church is the body of Christ, which consists of every believer who has ever believed in Christ, from the first disciples to the person who just came to know Christ this morning. We are part of the church. As a church, we do not work independently of each other. We work together with a common goal for the mission of the church. In this setting, we see people from several different backgrounds. We see Barnabas, who earlier in the book of Acts was presented as a Levite from Cyprus who resided in Jerusalem. He was one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church. Simeon from Niger, or the black man, implies that he had dark skin and was from Africa. No other thing is known about him. There's some speculation, but we don't really know much. Lucius from Cyrene, or Cyrenica, a Roman province in Libya in the northern coast of Africa. Nothing else is known. Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod, the same King Herod who ordered the beheading of John the Baptist, and the same King Herod who questioned Christ before his crucifixion. So this man was likely a man of inside, someone on the inside, somebody, a man of means. Then you have Saul of Tarsus, who was born in modern-day Turkey, raised by Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, well-educated, the best education of the time in the Jewish tradition. Anything Greek in Paul's world would have been despised. He murdered Christians thinking he was doing what was right for God. But then through God's sovereignty, he became an apostle to the Gentiles. Christianity is not a white man's religion. Christianity is not an American religion. We don't even make up the majority of Christians in the world. Truthfully, it's Africans. And secondly, the Latin Americans, the Hispanics. Christianity is not a tribal or ethnic religion. In the body of Christ, your race, your ethnicity, nor your socioeconomic status matters. We are all one in Christ. And we together, as the body of Christ, work together to fulfill the mission of the church. Jesus, one of his last prayers before he was crucified in the book of John was, Lord, let them be as one as you and I are as one. Let there be unity in the body of Christ. And when the world sees that there is a unity in the body of Christ, that we are doing the mission of God, there's going to see something different about us. You know, it doesn't just extend to individuals, extend to local church bodies. We're not in competition with the Baptists. We're not in competition with the Reformed believers. We are part of the body of Christ doing the mission of God. The church exists to glorify God. We read that the men were gathered together worshiping and fasting. How many of you know God works, God acts in worship? He responds to worship, and through worship, he acts to spread that worship to others. As a church, we can't get caught up in various ministries. We can't get caught up in various responsibilities while forgetting our primary focus. It's easy to work for God instead of working with God. I've been in full-time ministry 12 years now. I can tell you that's true. I've talked to countless pastors who will tell you that truth. I recently spoke with a pastor who's on the verge of retirement, and I asked him, I'm like, are you looking forward to just studying the Bible, not for a sermon series, but just to study it for yourself? He's like, yeah. He told me he hasn't studied the scripture for himself in a very long time. If that's where we're at, our priority is wrong. Ministry should never come before our own relationship with Christ. We have to remember, when we get the first thing right, when we get the most important thing right, everything else falls into place. John Piper, famous pastor, theologian, said, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. The glory of God is the ultimate goal of the church because it's the ultimate goal of God. The final goal of all things is that God might be worshiped with white-hot affection by a redeemed company of countless persons from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation, as we read about in Revelation chapter 5 and 7. Missions exist because worship doesn't. When the kingdom finally comes in glory, missions will cease. Missions is penultimate. Worship is ultimate. If we forget this and reverse their roles, the passion and the power of both diminish. We were created to worship. Worship first, missions and ministry second. Everything we do should be for the glory of God and God alone. You see, God doesn't work for our glory. The gospel is not for our glory. It's for our benefit, but it's not for our glory. It's for the glory of God. We also see that the church submits to the authority and the direction of the Holy Spirit. The leaders of the local church are always under the authority of God, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. At times, the church is functioning well. At times, the church is doing everything right. But then at a moment's notice, the Holy Spirit can step in and say, hey, it's time for change. We may not understand that change, but we submit to God. We submit to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who initiates various ministries and various missions, not the pastor. Notice it's the Holy Spirit that calls. The church simply confirms that calling and sends. And the church leaders, the local church leaders, have the responsibility to obey the Holy Spirit. It isn't always easy. Paul and Barnabas were likely the two most gifted people in that room that day. And those were the two people the Holy Spirit said, hey, these two are going to go. You notice the church didn't put up a fuss. They didn't say, wait, we need them. They simply obeyed and sent them on their way. We also have to understand that the task of the church, an individual, flows out of our worship to God. It's not just a coincidence that these men were praying and fasting. How many of you have ever prayed for God's will for your life? I know I have. Maybe you're a teenager, just graduated, or just about to graduate, or just graduating college, or even retirement. It doesn't matter. Sometimes when we're coming up to this big change in our life, we're asking God, God, what do you want me to do? How many of you have ever realized that those can turn into very selfish prayers very fast? God, I need. God, speak to me, give me direction. I need guidance, I need an open door. I'll be the first to admit I'm the most selfish person in the room. How many of you admit the same about yourself? We're selfish. How many of your spouses just hit you because you didn't raise your hand? But we have to remember, we don't exist for us. We exist to glorify God. By nature, we're selfish creatures. We want our way. We want our things to be comfortable. We want to feel good. Apart from Dada and Mama, our baby's first word is typically mine. We want our way with the music. I used to run sound booth at the church, and I've seen people get up and walk out because the music was not to their liking. We like our way with food. I'm from the South. I'm a big foodie. My wife will tell you, I'm the one who is in charge of the kitchen at our house. We want the thermostat our way, especially in church. But we must remember to fix our eyes on Jesus in all things. How many of you have ever been in a moment of worship? You were asking, previously you had been asking for direction, for wisdom, for guidance. But when we took our focus off of those things and simply worshiped God, that's when he spoke. That's how it was for me. I was 17 years old. I had my life mapped out. I knew what I was going to do with my life. And I was in a worship service on a Monday night at my youth group in church. And God spoke to me and said, you're going to be a missionary. My answer was no, not the answer God was expecting. Well, he knew I was going to say no, but it was in those moments when I wasn't focused on myself that God gave wisdom and direction, that God gave purpose. I say, for me, it was a missions trip a few months later that God confirmed that to my life. Now, this is not to say that God is always going to speak to you and God is always going to give you some big grand plan for your life. But as I said earlier, there's no distinction in the body of Christ. Galatians 3:28, there's neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither free nor slave. Ministers are part of the body of Christ as well. We're no special. We're no more special. We're no different than anybody else. We are people simply trying to serve God and obey Him. But even if God doesn't give you a specific direction in your life, He still has a plan for each and every one of us to live out what the Bible teaches. Not all of us are called to full-time ministry, but we are called to live for Christ. We are called to make disciples wherever we are. But primarily, we are called to worship God. The closer we get to God, the more we have a heart like God does. The more we see people as He sees them. As people and not projects. As people in need of a Savior and not some heathen we should avoid. When we draw close to God, that's how we start seeing people. God sees people as prodigal sons, and He's waiting for them to return. John Piper again says, missions is our way of saying the joy of knowing Christ is not private or tribal or national or ethnic privilege. It is for all. That's why we go. That's why we do missions. That's why we do ministry outside these four walls. Because we have tasted the joy of worshiping Jesus. And we want all the families on the earth included. This instance of corporate worship in Acts chapter 13 changed the course of human history. Paul was known as apostle to the Gentiles. The Gentiles is anybody who is not a Jew. Paul's primary goal was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Because he did that, we are here today. The book of Acts begins in Jerusalem. And it ends with Paul preparing to testify before Caesar in Rome. Are we really remembering that our primary focus is worship? When it comes to the ministry, we also have to remember mission is not just the people that go. The church prayed and fasted, and the church sent them on their way. If someone is called to missions, they don't just get a plane ticket to Timbuktu and go somewhere and say that they're going to be a missionary and live out their life. The chances of success are very slim. Many countries around the world will not even allow you to stay if you don't have income. That's actually how it is in Mexico. When we went to renew our visas in Mexico, we had to print out our bank statements for a full year saying we have income. That's how a lot of countries are around the world. Because missions is not just about the people that go, it's also about the people that pray and the people that send. When it comes to world missions, we have three choices. Either be a joyful sacrificial goer, a joyful sacrificial sender, or be disobedient. We are all part of the body of Christ. We all have a job to do. Worship and evangelize the world. And that ministry flows out of our worship. We also have to remember in all things, God gets the glory, not us. Westminster Catechism says, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. We glorify and honor God by worshiping Him. We glorify and honor God by declaring His message to all creation. We also have to understand that God does all things to preserve and display His glory. That may sound odd. There's a lot of preaching that today that says you were worth it. Christ came because you were worth it. The only worth we have is because God gave us that worth. We find this principle throughout Scripture. Psalms 23, many of us can quote it. And if you grew up in church, it'll come out in King James. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff. I don't even use King James, and I still quote it. But verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Our goal is to worship God and to glorify him. Everything else will flow out of that. Everything else will fall into place if we keep the main thing, the main thing. So in conclusion, we're part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter anything. We are all part of that body of Christ. We exist to glorify God. We submit to the sovereign leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but we trust him. Out of that worship, the task will flow. Whether it be your neighbor, whether it be somebody in a country you've never heard of before, whether it be your coworker. God, give us eyes to see as you see. We're all part of that mission. To ultimately give God glory and honor. Will you stand with me this morning and let's pray. God, in all things, we confess that you are God. You are good. You are sovereign. And you are sufficient, Lord. Father, we confess that through our lives, we are not to live for our own comfort, our own pleasure. We exist to glorify and honor you. God, help us in these moments, Lord, to take our eyes, our focus off of ourselves, off of our situations, God, and just focus on you, to turn our eyes on you, Lord, to glorify, to worship you. God, when we do that, everything else just falls into place. Through our lives, Lord, may you receive all glory. Precious holy name we pray. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.